consider the expression to turn the world upside down, not claiming that it originated in the Bible, because there is no particular doctrine or practice peculiar to the Christian faith expressed by those words. I believe that those words express what is found in the culture of that time, and probably other cultures have similar expressions. But what I want to say is that those words describe very well the effect of the gospel everywhere it is preached, and that is how non-believers often perceive the effect of the gospel. The gospel causes the world to be turned upside down. So when we have this passage recorded for us and these words recorded for us to describe the effect of the gospel, we cannot help but find that this expression is spread throughout the world wherever the gospel goes. Whenever people study the Bible, whenever people come across a passage like this, they cannot help but smile and say, yes, the Christian message turns the world upside down. So while not claiming that these words express something peculiarly Christian, we nevertheless say that it is particularly applicable to the Christian message. What does it mean to turn the world upside down? It basically means to cause trouble by doing things contrary to the norm. And often, the trouble is caused by a teaching or a belief that is spread to others. And in the case of the Christian faith, it is not because the teaching is wrong, but it is because of the effect which is so very great in proportion to what is expected. So the message is just a message, but it causes such a great change such that non-believers tend to use this expression of Christians in a negative sense. Jadi kita sedang mempelajari ungkapan-ungkapan yang timbul dari Alkitab. Pada malam ini kita akan mempelajari ungkapan yang terdapat dalam ayat ke-6 di sini. Mereka ini mengacau seluruh dunia. Jadi sungguh pun ungkapan mengacau seluruh dunia ini bukan unik, bukan khusus kepada orang-orang Kristen atau ajaran Kristen, tetapi ia itu sangat sesuai untuk digunakan terhadap orang-orang Kristen, kerana berita Injil itu sentiasa menyebabkan perubahan yang besar, dan orang-orang bukan Kristen sentiasa kagum dan takut, dan mereka menganggap orang-orang Kristen sebagai pengacau dunia. Apa yang diberitakan itu nampaknya tidak berbahaya dan kita tidak anggap sebagai salah. Sebenarnya kita menganggapnya sebagai benar. Tetapi kesannya sungguh besar apabila orang percaya, dan banyak yang percaya, perubahan dalam kehidupan mereka sungguh besar. Maka ungkapan ini dengan tepat boleh di pakai pada orang-orang Kristen. Berita kita ini menyebabkan dunia terkacau. Okay? Now, let us consider the Bible background to the expression that is found in verse 6 here. What happened was that the Apostle Paul, together with Silas, came out from the church of Antioch as their missionaries to go around preaching. They were in their second missionary journey. They arrived at the city of Thessalonica round about the year AD 50. And they at first arrived at the city of Philippi before going to Thessalonica. While at Philippi, they had a very profitable time in terms of Christian work. Firstly, Lydia and her household were converted. Secondly, a slave girl recognized who Paul and Silas were because she was indwelt by an evil spirit, and she was used by her masters to foretell things not normally known by ordinary people. And that evil spirit in her recognized that Paul and Silas were servants of God, and they were continuing, or rather the girl was continuing, to make a nuisance of herself to the extent that Paul rebuked the evil spirit in her and commanded the evil spirit to leave her. And she was healed. She was delivered from possession by the evil spirit, which meant that from that time on, she would not be able to foretell things hidden from the normal mind. And that meant that the masters of that slave girl could not use her anymore to gain a profit. And they stirred up trouble for Paul and Silas. And they brought Paul and Silas forcibly to the leaders or rulers of the city and claimed that they were troubling the people. So already Paul and Silas were being accused of troubling the city, and they therefore were thrown into prison. Then an unusual thing happened in the prison. In the middle of the night, an earthquake occurred, and all the prison doors were thrown open. And the jailer nearly killed himself, thinking that all the prisoners had escaped, which meant that he would be held responsible. So he felt that it would be better to take his own life rather than to face the shame of being tried for being irresponsible in his job as a jailer. Paul and Silas stopped him, and he came trembling, asked them, "What must I do to be saved?" Knowing that the earthquake was an unusual occurrence, causing all the prison doors to be open, and knowing that somehow that miracle was connected with Paul and Silas, who earlier in the night had been singing hymns and were in prayer. And the jailer probably had heard about Paul and Silas. He had probably even heard their messages. So you see now that the jailer was told of the way of salvation. The gospel was preached to him and his household, and the whole household believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. Then what happened was that the magistrates of the city came to have Paul and Silas released the following day. And Paul, realizing that the Christian faith was being misrepresented, they were being misrepresented as bad people who caused unnecessary problems, did not want to leave until the magistrates came to apologize and bring them out. It wasn't that he was seeking revenge. He felt that it was only right to put the wrong impression of the Christian faith at rest. And so that was what happened. The magistrates came and took them out. So Paul, after encouraging the believers, the new believers in Philippi, left the city of Philippi and came to Thessalonica. Jadi, kita memberi sedikit latar belakang ungkapan yang terdapat dalam ayat ke-6, pasal ke-17 dalam kisah para rasul. Mereka yang dianggap mengacau seluruh dunia ini sebelum ini berada di kota Filipi, di mana mereka dapat banyak hasil dalam pengisytiharan Injil. Mula-mula sekali, Lydia sekeluarga semua percaya dan dibaptiskan. Kedua, seorang hamba, seorang perempuan muda menjadi hamba kepada tuan-tuannya, dirasuk roh jahat Dan kerana dia mengacau saja Paulus dan Silas, maka Paulus pun memerintah supaya roh jahat itu keluar dari anak muda itu. Roh Kudus itu pun keluar dan anak muda itu pun sembuh. Dan oleh itu anak muda itu tidak dapat lagi bernubuat seperti dahulu. Maka tuan-tuannya tidak dapat menggunakannya untuk mendapat untung. Mereka pun menuduh Paulus dan Silas dan membawa mereka kepada pemimpin-pemimpin kota Filipi itu. Mereka pun dipenjarakan. Dalam penjara, orang yang menjaga penjara itu nyaris-nyaris membunuh diri kerana suatu mukjizat berlaku, yaitu suatu gempa bumi yang ajaib berlaku menyebabkan pintu-pintu gerbang itu terbuka, tetapi tidak seorang pun yang melarikan diri. Dan orang yang menjaga penjara itu pun menanyakan Paulus bagaimana boleh dia diselamatkan. Injil pun disampaikan kepadanya dan kepada seluruh keluarganya. Dan melalui itu mereka semua percaya dan dibaptiskan. Dan hari kemudiannya Paulus dan Silas disuruh keluar, boleh dibebaskan. Tetapi mereka enggan keluar, melainkan pemimpin-pemimpin di sana datang mengambil mereka keluar kerana mereka sudah memberikan gambaran yang salah terhadap agama Kristen. Agama Kristen tidak memburuk-burukkan orang, tidak mengacau orang. Jadi mereka pun dibawa keluar oleh pemimpin-pemimpin kota Filipi itu. Dan dari Filipi, Paulus datang ke Tesalonika. Itu sedikit latar belakang kepada apa yang terjadi. Now, arriving at Thessalonica, Paul, as his was his practice, went straight to the synagogue, not because he wanted to worship God in the synagogue, but because he wanted to take advantage of the gathered Jews to proclaim the truth to them. So he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, which was a Saturday, not to worship, but to witness. And so he went one Sabbath day and he opened up the scriptures to show to them that the scriptures actually foretold the coming of Christ. And Jesus is that Christ foretold in the Old Testament. And for three continuous Sabbaths, he persuaded the people, with the result that a number of the Jews believed, including the Greek-speaking proselytes, those who were not Jews but who were following the religion of the Jews, they believed. And among them were a number of leading women. You can see in chapter 17, verse 4, and some of them were persuaded, and a great multitude of the devout Greeks, and not a few of the leading women, joined Paul and Silas. So you see, again, Paul and Silas were having a profitable time preaching, and many believed. But as always, when there were those who believed, there were others who opposed. It would have been good if they just left the believers alone and said, well, we are not persuaded yet, so that's why we have not believed. But they were not content to leave the believers alone. Instead, their hearts were envious, and their envious hearts began to work, causing them to become angry, and they began to hate the Christians. And when anger and hatred were in their hearts, they could not contain themselves. They now must act, and they decided to act against the preachers. And to act against the preachers, they must give a reason. And they therefore came up with an accusation against the preachers that they were actually causing trouble unnecessarily. So the expression came about that they were troublers of the world. They turned the world upside down. They were elsewhere before. They were in Philippi, the neighboring city, and we have heard that they caused so much trouble there, and now they have come here. So they went to the house of this man, Jason, to look for Paul and Silas, but Paul and Silas happened to be out at that time. So they just dragged Jason, the house owner, and a number of believers who were there, and dragged them to the rulers of the city. And the accusation was placed upon them. The accusation was leveled at them, saying that they harbored those preachers who were known to be people who caused trouble. They were people known to have turned the world upside down. Okay? And they were teaching that there was another king other than Caesar, a man called Jesus. So they tried to put a political slant to the accusation so that the authorities will act against this Christian. Now, they caused trouble to Jason and the believers, but the people they were after were Paul and Silas. Since they could not get Paul and Silas, they decided to get a bond. They decided to fine Jason and his friends. So after paying the fine, Jason and his friends were allowed to go. So we see now that this is the Bible background to the expression, those who turn the world upside down. Jadi selepas berada di Filipi, Paulus dan Silas datang pula ke kota Tesalonika. Di sana mereka berkhutbah pada hari Sabat, yaitu hari Sabtu, di sinagoga orang Yahudi. Mereka ke sana bukan kerana ingin menyembah Tuhan, tetapi mereka mengambil kesempatan orang-orang Yahudi yang terhimpun di sana untuk memberitakan Injil kepada mereka. Mereka berbuat sedemikian 3 hari Sabtu berturut-turut. Sehinggalah banyak orang yang percaya, termasuk segolongan besar orang-orang Yunani. Dan juga di antara mereka beberapa orang perempuan yang berpangkat tinggi. Kita terdapat ini tercatat dalam ayat ke-4 pasal ke-17. Dan ada yang percaya, yang lain pula, orang Yahudi yang lain rasa cemburu. Mereka rasa iri hati. Mereka pun naik marah. Mereka pun rasa benci. Dan sekarang mereka ingin bertindak. Mereka datang ke rumah Jason itu mencari Paulus dan Silas, tetapi tak terdapat mereka. Kebetulan pada waktu itu Paulus dan Silas tidak ada. Mereka pun menangkap Jason dan beberapa orang Kristen yang lain dan membawa mereka kepada pemimpin kota itu. Dan mereka menuduh Jason dan orang-orang Kristen bersama dia bahawa mereka ini sudah menolong Paulus dan Silas, orang-orang yang mengacau seluruh dunia. Okay. Dan oleh kerana mereka ingin menangkap Paulus dan Silas, bukan Jason dan rakan-rakannya. Jason dan rakan-rakannya pun dilepaskan selepas sedikit bayaran wang. Itu dia sedikit latar belakang mengenai ungkapan mereka yang mengacau seluruh dunia. Okay. Now, we come to the next section of our talk. We want to consider the reasons for charging the Christians for turning the world upside down. It applied to Paul and Silas. It applies to all Christians who proclaim the gospel. It applies everywhere the gospel is preached and has an effect upon the people. Now, amazingly, the gospel often is preached in difficult situations, but there are people who believe. It is always the case. Missionaries, preachers go forth to preach, and often they meet with difficulties, but they persevere and preach, and with time there will be those who believe. Sometimes there's only one or two after many long years. When William Carey went to India, he preached for total 6 years before there was one convert. But when that one convert came in, he brought such joy because that was the first fruit. And very soon, others began to follow. The same too with Adoniram Judson when he went to Burma. And the same too can be seen in other missionary situations. But at other times, at one visit and preaching at a certain place for a fixed period of time, many come to faith at the same time. Whether the converts come in trickles or they come in a big number all at once, sooner or later, the lives of the people are transformed so much such that non-believers will get envious, non-believers get worried, because the lives of any people within a community are often interrelated. One person's life will be interrelated with another, another will be interrelated with others. You discover that there will be an effect upon others. And whether the effect is regarded as for good or for bad, you discover non-believers will always want to look at the bad side. They will say that Christians are turning the world upside down. Okay? Now, to be more specific, we want to consider the reasons for the charge. Firstly, the charge against Paul and Silas and against any Christians who preach often arise from the preaching of the gospel. It is not because we are troublemakers. It is not because we deliberately go and disturb people's culture. No. We want to preach the truth of Christ and Him crucified, believing that that message alone can deliver people from their bondage to sin, believing that Christ alone can give the believers eternal life. So it is with the view of doing them good, and doing good not only temporarily on this earth, but for all eternity. So you see now that we don't go forth with guns, with swords. We go forth only with the message. The message of the gospel is intended to do people good. And the way we go about it is not by forcing people or by deceiving people. We totally dissociate ourselves from unethical ways of making people believe. If people believe because they are forced to, or because they are tricked by us, then you discover finally they don't have true faith. And we don't want that. We want them to hear the message, understand the message, and allow the message to change their lives. We believe that we cannot convert people. We cannot truly make them believe. Only God, by His Spirit, can cause people to be converted. But God, by His Spirit, works through the message that is proclaimed by Christians, that is heard by the hearers. So the message is to be proclaimed. The message must be heard. And then we leave it to God to work in the lives of the hearers. And so you see now that the reason is actually the proclamation of the gospel. If we want to ask, why is the world turned upside down? It is because the gospel has been preached. And we know that the gospel is about a person, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Savior of the world. And it is about Him crucified. That is, Christ came to live a perfectly righteous life and finally laid down His life on the cross. He died on the cross in the place of sinners to take away their sins, without which no sinner can be saved. So when a sinner comes to trust in Christ as the only Savior of the world, when a sinner comes to trust in Christ who died on the cross for sinners, then he will be saved. His sins will be regarded as taken away by Christ when He died on the cross. Christ's righteousness will be regarded as
given to the believer so that he can be accepted by God. You see now that that is how a person is saved. The gospel of Christ and Him crucified is proclaimed. Jadi kita ingin mengkaji dengan lebih terperinci mengapakah dunia semacam terkacau, dunia semacam sudah terbalik apabila orang-orang Kristen menginjil. Ini disebabkan oleh Injil. Injil itu diperkabarkan. Kita dengan kuasa sendiri tidak dapat menukar sesiapa pun. Kita tidak dapat menyelamatkan sesiapa pun. Tugas kita sebagai Kristen ialah hanya untuk mengkabarkan Injil. Dan orang berdosa terkena mendengar Injil itu. Dan apabila Injil ini disampaikan, maka Roh Kudus menggunakannya untuk menukar orang itu, orang yang mendengar itu. Nah, kita tahu kabar Injil itu merangkumi siapa dia Yesus Kristus. Yesus Kristus ialah anak Tuhan yang kekal. Dia sudah datang ke dunia ini menjadi manusia yang sempurna sambil terus menjadi terus dia ilahi, dia ialah anak Tuhan. Dan dia datang sebagai juru selamat dunia ini. Kita terkena perkabarkan Yesus Kristus supaya orang lain mendengarnya. Tanpa mendengar siapa dia Yesus Kristus, orang tidak dapat diselamatkan. Jadi Injil itu mengenai Yesus Kristus. Dialah juru selamat untuk seluruh dunia. Dan Injil juga mengenai kerja Yesus. Dia datang ke dunia ini, hidup sempurna, dan akhirnya mati di atas salib sebagai ganti untuk orang-orang berdosa. Sesiapa yang mendengar kabar ini, berita ini, dan bertobat dan percaya kepada Yesus Kristus, dosa-dosanya dianggap sudah dipikul oleh Yesus Kristus apabila ia mati di atas salib. Dan kebenaran Yesus Kristus dianggap diberikan kepada orang yang percaya itu supaya dia dapat diterima oleh Tuhan yang Maha Kudus. Dengan cara itu sajalah seseorang berdosa dapat diselamatkan. Jadi kita terkena kabar Injil mengenai Yesus dan dia yang disalibkan. Jadi oleh kerana Injil ini diperkabarkan, orang ditukar. Orang yang mendengar ditukar. Kehidupan mereka berubah. Dan kerana kehidupan kita ada saling kaitan dengan orang lain, apabila satu orang percaya, orang lain terasa kesannya. Kalau banyak orang percaya, maka banyak orang akan terasa kesannya. Dan oleh itu, orang yang tak percaya menganggap kita sebagai pengacau dunia ini. Okay? Jadi sebab yang sebenarnya ialah Injil mengenai Yesus dan dia yang disalibkan, disebarkan. So you see now, because our life is interconnected with others, when one believes, the effect of the changed life will be felt by others. When many believe, you discover many will be affected by the change in our lives. And therefore, they will regard Christians as turning the world upside down. The real reason why the world appeared to be turned upside down is because the gospel of Christ and Him crucified has been proclaimed. Then, connected with that is the fact that there are those who believe, there are converts that are made, just like what we read in verse 4. Now we can proclaim the gospel, but not everyone will believe. God, however, has ordained that through the preaching of the gospel, those chosen by Him from eternity will respond. We do not know who they are, We preach the gospel freely to all. But we expect that along the way, there will be one here, two there, many here and there, who will come to true faith in Jesus Christ. It is not we who determine who will be saved. God uses our effort. God uses our gifts, our abilities. But we know that true conversion comes by the power of the Holy Spirit. Human instrumentality is involved. Therefore, Christians must bring the gospel to others. Human responsibility is involved. Therefore, those who hear must respond by repenting of their faith, of their sins and coming to faith in Christ. But it is God who gives repentance and faith. Okay? So you see now that if the gospel is proclaimed and no one is converted, the world will not be turned upside down. But it is precisely because there will always be converts, whether one or many, that the world is regarded as turned upside down. We have noted that each individual life is connected with many other lives. When one person's life is changed, others will sense the change. When there are many who are converted, then many more will sense the change in our lives. The effects of the gospel will be felt by others. That's why they regard the world as being turned upside down. So the second reason why Christians are charged with turning the world upside down is because there are converts. Sebab kedua, mengapa orang-orang Kristen dianggap sebagai pengacau dunia ialah kerana setiap kali ada orang yang percaya. Kita dengan kuasa diri sendiri tidak dapat menyebabkan sesiapa pun percaya. Kita digunakan sebagai alat oleh Tuhan kita. Kita ada tanggungjawab sebagai orang-orang Kristen untuk mengkabarkan Injil kepada orang lain. Dan orang yang mendengar ada tanggungjawab untuk bertindak, memberi respon yang betul. Mereka terkena bertobat dan percaya. Tetapi akhir kata, siapakah yang menyebabkan mereka bertobat? Tuhanlah yang memberi mereka pertobatan. Tuhanlah yang memberi mereka kepercayaan kepada Yesus Kristus. Jadi, apabila kita mengkabarkan Injil itu dan Injil itu didengar oleh orang lain, kita yakin bahawa ada orang yang terpilih dari kekekalan oleh Tuhan kita. Mereka akan merespon. Mereka akan bertindak sewajarnya. Mungkin ada satu yang percaya. Mungkin ada banyak yang percaya. Tetapi Tuhanlah yang menyebabkan mereka bertobat dan percaya. Jadi itulah sebab kedua mengapa orang Kristen sentiasa dianggap sebagai pengacau dunia. Itu kerana ada orang yang benar-benar percaya. Okay? Then we must take note that the third reason why Christians are regarded as turning people who turn the world upside down is because in the hearts of unbelievers there is envy, there is wickedness, there is hatred. You see, it is because unbelievers do not like to see others transformed by the gospel. And that is why they get worked up. And that is why they accuse the Christians. Now, if only they would take things more rationally, more soberly, they would come to realize that the charge of turning the world upside down should not be laid at the Christians. Instead, they should rather look upon it as something good. Bad people become good. See? Liars stop lying. Adulterers stop their adultery. See? Those who steal stop their stealing. You see? And drinkers stop their drinking spree. Wife bashers stop their wife bashing.
loiters, stop loitering and begin to work hard to earn a living. You discover that society is being changed for good. Peace comes to a difficult situation. So the gospel actually has beneficial effect upon people and upon a community. Now, certainly the charge of turning the world upside down, as is normally understood, cannot be leveled at the Christians. It is leveled at the Christians only because there are unbelievers who are envious, who have anger and hatred, and they therefore are the ones who often cause the trouble. Because they are unhappy with the effect of the gospel, they decide to bring charges against the Christians, and often they have to give an excuse for their actions against the Christians, and they will lay false charges, they will bring false accusations against them, and they will often stir up the feelings of others against the Christians, as we saw in this passage. So it is because of the malicious, wicked intents of non-believers that Christians are regarded as turning the world upside down. So that is the third reason. So put together, you discover those three reasons go to give the actual cause of why Christians are regarded as troublemakers, people who turn the world upside down. It is firstly because the gospel is preached. It is secondly because there are actually people who believe. And thirdly, it is because there are non-believers who have malicious intents against the Christians. Okay? Now, perkara sebab ketiga, mengapa orang-orang Kristen dianggap sebagai pengacau dunia, ialah kerana adanya orang-orang yang tak percaya. Kalau mereka tidak percaya sendiri, orang lain percaya, dan mereka membiarkan orang lain percaya, tidak ada masalah yang berlaku. Tetapi biasanya orang yang tak percaya itu merasa iri hati kerana melihat orang lain sudah percaya. Dan mereka merasa marah dan benci, dan mereka pun bertindak keras terhadap orang Kristen, dan mereka pun membawa tuduhan-tuduhan palsu terhadap orang Kristen. Kalaulah tidak ada orang jahat semacam itu, Kristen tidak akan dianggap sebagai pengacau dunia. Sebenarnya kesan-kesan Injil itu baik. Seseorang pencuri, bila dia percaya kepada Yesus, dia tidak akan lagi mencuri. Seorang yang berzina, kalau dia percaya kepada Yesus Kristus, dia tak mau hidup sebagai orang seorang penzina. Seorang yang membohong, dia tidak akan membohong selepas dia percaya kepada Yesus Kristus. Seorang yang malas, dia tidak akan menjadi malas lagi. Dia akan bekerja keras untuk mencari rezeki. Jadi itu semua kesan-kesan baik Injil terhadap kehidupan orang yang percaya. Injil sebenarnya membawa kebaikan dan keamanan kepada sesuatu masyarakat. Jadi kalaulah tidak ada orang yang tidak percaya, yang rasa dengki terhadap orang yang percaya, sudah tentu tidak ada tuduhan bahawa Kristen itu menyebabkan dunia ini terbalik. Tidak ada tuduhan bahawa Kristen mengacau seluruh dunia. Okay? Itu dia tiga sebab sebenarnya mengapa Kristen dianggap sebagai pengacau dunia. Pertama, kerana Injil itu diperkabarkan. Kedua, kerana ada orang-orang yang benar percaya. Dan ketiga, kerana ada orang yang tak percaya yang benci terhadap orang Kristen. Okay. Now, we come to the outcome of the incident and see what we may learn from there. Paul and Silas, what happened when they were accused? What happened when they were being pursued? Did they become fearful and stop preaching? No. They just went on preaching. In Philippi, they were imprisoned. They were released. They came to Thessalonica to preach. In Thessalonica, the enemies wanted to catch them, but couldn't catch them. So they escaped and went to Berea. And in verse 10 we read, and the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. When they arrived, they went into the synagogue of the Jews. What for? To preach again Jesus and Him crucified. You see, this Paul and Silas, they were not a people who just because of some problems or out of fear for their own safety or their reputation or inconvenience or pain and suffering, they will stop preaching. No. They are so convinced of the truth of the gospel. Their lives are so given to the Lord Jesus Christ. And they are so convinced that the gospel alone will do people lasting good, that they would never stop preaching. Okay? And this is where we must learn that men can only destroy our body, they cannot destroy our soul. We must rather fear God who can destroy both body and soul in hell. Fear God rather than fear the face of man. Just because of problems coming to us, then we stop preaching, hey. Then we give the devil the victory. That is what he wants. He wants us to be so fearful that we stop preaching. Then the kingdom of God will not extend. Because God's ordained way for people to come to faith is by the hearing of the word. And when Christians stop preaching, you discover that the kingdom of God will not extend. Okay? And often, there are Christians who are not facing trials, not facing problems. They're not suffering for the faith. They only fear that they might suffer for their faith. You see? So they do not preach as they ought to. It is because of potential problems. Problems haven't come. But because of the potential problem, they stop preaching. It is such a pity. We learn from the case of Paul and Silas that despite the trials, the dangers that came to them, they did not fear the face of man. They continued to hold on to that strong conviction that the gospel is a true message that alone can do sinners eternal good. And their lives were so committed to the Lord that they were prepared to continue preaching. Jadi kita coba merenungkan kesudahannya. Apa terjadi kepada Paulus dan Silas? Di Tesalonika mereka dipenjarakan. Bila dilepaskan, adakah mereka berhenti berkhotbah? Tidak. Mereka datang ke Filipi dan berkhotbah di sana. Di Filipi, musuh mereka ingin menangkap mereka tetapi tak dapat menangkap mereka. Mereka pun berangkat ke Berea. Dan apa mereka buat di sana? Adakah mereka berhenti berkhotbah? Tidak, mereka terus ke sinagoga orang Yahudi dan berkhotbah di sana. Ya, itu dia Paulus dan Silas. Mereka tidak takut kepada kesusahan. Mereka tidak takut kepada sengsara yang berlaku kepada mereka. Mereka tidak takut kepada manusia. Mereka lebih takut kepada Tuhan. Ya? Orang manusia hanya boleh membunuh badan kita saja. Mereka tak dapat memusnahkan roh kita. Kita sepatutnya takut kepada Tuhan yang boleh memusnahkan badan dan roh kita di neraka. Kita lebih takut kepada Tuhan dari manusia. Dan Paulus dan Silas yakin kepada Injil. Injil itu satu-satunya berita yang boleh menukar manusia untuk kekekalan. Mereka yakin kepada Tuhan mereka dan mereka terus mengkabarkan Injil kepada semua orang. Itu satu yang perlu kita belajar. Ada banyak Kristen yang takut kesusahan, takut sengsara, takut menderita. Bila sedikit saja penderitaan berlaku dalam kehidupan mereka, mereka terus tidak lagi melayani Tuhan. Tidak lagi memberita Injil. Dan bukan itu saja. Ada banyak Kristen belum lagi menderita. Mereka takut kepada penderitaan yang mungkin berlaku. Dan mereka terus tidak memberita Injil. Penderitaan belum sampai lagi. Mereka hanya takut kepada kemungkinan mendapat penderitaan. Mereka sudah berhenti tidak menginjil. Jadi itu kurang bagus.
kita sepatutnya mempelajari dari kehidupan Paulus dan Silas bahwa kita terus perlu teruskan penginjilan layanan kita untuk Tuhan kita. Then we take note that unbelievers will always be there. There will always be those who are angry at Christians. They will hate the believers and especially the preachers of the gospel. They will always try to hinder them, cause them harm, even destroy them if it were possible. You see? But always remember that at the most they can only destroy our bodies. They cannot destroy our soul. Okay? And since there will always be unbelievers who are angry at us, should we therefore not make up our mind not to be controlled by them, not be to be affected by them, not to allow our life to be intervened or to be affected by whatever they want to do to us? We should rather see that because they will always be there, because they will always attempt to hinder the spread of the gospel, because they will always attempt to destroy us, we should all the more make up our mind that we will go on preaching. The persecutors here, we go there to preach. The hinderers there, we go to another place to preach. And if we finally are arrested or beaten up or even killed, then we know that God's work will continue for as long as there are people who preach the gospel. Okay? We know that God will deal with them. Okay? So we draw to a close. For you who are hearing this message today, the first point is that you must be reasonable. The message that we preach is meant for your good. If you are angry at the Christians for proclaiming the gospel, ask yourself, is that reasonable when in fact it is meant to do you good? Jadi kita tahu bahwa selalu saja ada orang yang tak percaya, mereka akan cuba menghalang kita dari berkhotbah, menginjil. Maka kita membuat keputusan kita akan teruskan penginjilan dan layanan kita. Selalu, tak kira di mana pun, ada orang yang tak percaya dan mereka akan cuba menghalang kita dan cuba membunuh kita. Oleh kerana kita tahu itu satu hakikat, tak boleh berubah, kita akan membuat keputusan, akan teruskan layanan kita. Okay? Jadi, kita membuat kesimpulan. Orang-orang yang mendengar pada malam ini, pertama, seharusnya waras dalam pikiranmu. Pikir dengan betul. Ya. Apa yang kita kabarkan ialah untuk kebaikanmu. Adakah betul kamu marah kepada kami yang menginjil? Injil ini ialah untuk kebaikanmu. Kalau kamu tidak ingin percaya, janganlah percaya dan terimalah akibatnya nanti. Tuhan yang akan menghakimimu. Adalah tidak wajar kamu menjadi marah terhadap orang yang menginjil. Kerana Injil itu dikabarkan untuk kebaikanmu. Then secondly, be sensible. Christ alone can do you lasting good. If only you will turn from your sins to come and trust in Him. If Jesus Christ is really the way, the truth, and the life, and no one can come to the Father except through Him, then the sensible thing is to act on what you hear. Because if you don't act on what you hear, then you miss out on the eternal life that is offered to you. Okay? Jadi, perkara kedua ialah kita terkena pikir dengan betul. Kita terkena menimbangkan segala-galanya dan kita akan dapati bahwa Injil itu sahaja
boleh menjadikan kita baik. Injil itu saja boleh memberi kehidupan kekal kepada kita. Yesus itu ialah jalan, dia ialah kehidupan, dia ialah kebenaran. Tidak seseorang pun yang dapat datang ke Tuhan Bapa melainkan melaluinya. Jadi tanpa Yesus, kamu tidak akan dapat kehidupan kekal. Kan lebih baik kamu bertobat dan percaya kepadanya. Then thirdly, be credible. Show forth true faith by persevering and suffering for the faith. Don't be those who just merely claim to be Christians when in fact there is no true change in your life. Now, if you are just a mere professor of religion, you profess to believe, then your life will never have an effect upon others. Your life will not turn the world upside down in the right sense of the word. And you discover that in the end, you will meet with God's disapproval. On the last day, you are going to call upon the name of the Lord, but He is going to say, "Depart from me, for I never knew you." So make sure that you have a credible profession of faith. Make sure that you have true faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. True faith that rests on Him to save you. True faith that results in your life being transformed by the truth. Otherwise, it is useless calling yourself a Christian. It is as good as being a non-believer if you are just a mere professor of religion. So make sure that you have a credible faith in Jesus Christ. Jadi perkara ketiga ialah tentukan bahawa kamu ada iman yang benar. Jangan sekadar nama saja Kristen, tetapi belum lagi bertobat, belum lagi benar-benar percaya kepada Yesus Kristus. Kalau nama saja Kristen, pada suatu hari nanti kamu akan ditolak oleh Tuhan Yesus. Sungguh pun kamu memanggil Dia, Dia akan kata kepadamu, "Aku tidak mengenalimu." Okay? Jadi buat apa hanya menganggap diri Kristen kalau tidak benar-benar percaya kepada Yesus Kristus? Kalau kehidupanmu belum benar-benar ditukar oleh Roh Kudus, buat apa nama saja Kristen? Bukankah itu sama dengan orang yang langsung tak mengaku diri Kristen? Sama saja. Oleh itu, tentukan bahawa kamu ada iman yang benar, ada kepercayaan yang benar terhadap Yesus Kristus. So then, be reasonable, be sensible, be credible in your faith. May God help us to be the people that we ought to be. Let us